Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Deutschland Calcio. As we all know, it's been 3 weeks into the fo it's 3 weeks into the football season, and so we're just going to go over a couple teams, discuss what we're liking, what we're not liking, and if there's things that we aren't particularly liking from that particular team in question, potential solutions to help the team going forward. And or things that we would like to see from them. So we're just going to jump right into the first team. So we're going to just start off with Roma. And so obviously being the Roma supporter, Elliot, what are some things that you've been liking, not liking? What's the Roma?
Well, I'm liking absolutely fucking nothing.
Oh boy, that's not good, man.
I mean, look, yeah, it's 3 games into the season, but if you want to find a season that has started this poorly, you're going to have to rewind the clock about 20 years, 1996, 1 point out of the first 3 games. So that already is a bad juju. Again, one game, it's been 3 games. The problem is two of those 3 games were against Salernitana and Verona. Verona, we agree, are going to get relegated, or at least in that conversation. Salernitana's good team has Kondreva, who just scores great goals, but only against Roma. So you look at that situation and you're looking at a team that of 3 games, one against AC Milan, okay, fine, they beat us. Cool. And the other two against very winnable teams, we should be sitting on 6 points, not one. And to be fair, in the first game, even though the first game we played well, it wasn't our fault, all this other stuff, we're still looking at a situation where we have over those two first two games, we couldn't beat either of those teams. And again, their circumstances, you know, the first game was really good. Belotti scored for the first time in it feels like forever. Scored 3 times. One of them was disallowed, et cetera, et cetera. That game, you lose. We drop points because Kondreva just scores world-class goals or does nothing. Dominated the game. The midfield was perfect. Again, Rui Patricio wasn't perfect, but, you know, he didn't have to do much. We dominated that game. We played well. The midfield looked fantastic. Everything seemed to be clicking. Yeah, so fine, we get a point there. We go to Verona, and all the things that we did well, we changed. So the midfield had no issues. We took Paredes, who had played 15 minutes the previous game, puts him straight into the starting lineup. Bove doesn't get 1 minute in that second game. Dybala's not there because of it. No, Dybala did play that game. It was just a huge frustration. Rui Patricio just felt like, you know what, let's make this hard on ourselves. We'll just give Verona a goal in the first 3 minutes. It was a really bad, yeah, he can't stop anything. If you just shot it right at him, it'd probably end up in the back net. That's how bad the goalkeeping has been. And everybody, the goalkeeping issue has been very well documented from everyone. But my problem is, look, if you're gonna be in this situation, make the right substitutions. Don't wait until it's too late to bring on the player that you need. And Houssan Aouar has been amazing. In that second game, he doesn't start him. He starts the guy who played 15 minutes. Bove was brilliant in the first game. Doesn't see the field. Obviously, we had a bazillion chances we couldn't score. And then we're desperately trying to bring any striker that has a pulse into Roma. And so on. So, yes, we got Lukaku and Osman. From Leverkusen. Again, Lukaku needs to score 5 goals before I really sort of get behind him. Obviously, you know, that's for obvious reasons because of the circus that comes. But then after that first game, I said, fuck it, bring the circus. But then remember, Mourinho's out those first 2 games. He doesn't play. So I'm convincing myself that no, Mourinho didn't make these decisions. It was the assistant that made all those fucking horrible decisions. About the substitutions, the midfield, everything being out of whack. So I'm like, okay, cool. And then AC Milan comes, makes the same ridiculous decisions that were made the previous 2 games. So my biggest issue is the goalkeeping, but that can't be solved. I think we have to put our number two in there. But my biggest issue right now is the midfield. And the reason it's the midfield is we're not playing the players that need to play. Awar should always be in the starting lineup. Pellegrini should always be in the starting. Most of the time should be in the starting lineup. And Bova needs to be playing every game. In those first two games, whatever, I'm thinking to myself while he's on the bench, saying, "You know what we need? We need Bova." And Bova didn't appear. He's the luxury that we have in that position. There's very few midfielders that we have in that area that does what he does. And with Awar getting injured early against AC Milan, that was the move to make. He comes off the bench and provides the assist of a meaningless goal. Total disaster. The one thing I do like is Houssoun Awar looks like the real deal in midfield. Whether we finish 17th or 7th, I think he's going to be one of the best midfielders in the league this season, as he has been. He should be back. Dybala should be back for the next game, so on and so forth. So I feel good about him, but there's not really a lot of positives that we can take from this. People are saying Lukaku's a positive, but I don't know that he's a positive yet because I haven't seen him long enough, so I'm not going to celebrate this too much. And then the last thing I'll say, and this is a more broader topic, but Roma needs to start thinking about the future. They need to think big picture. They need to start formulating their idea of who's going to come in when Mourinho leaves. Because Mourinho has taken this team as far as he can take them. Maybe he can even take them further than this. And if he goes, it won't be his fault. But we need to think of an idea of who we need to bring in to replace him when the time comes. I don't want us sitting on our thumbs for the next year. And then when he leaves this year or next year, we don't have an idea who we want to bring in. Because the targets that Roma would go after, other clubs are also going to go after them. Because Roma are in this situation, those conversations or those ideas need to be started. And based on what I'm reading in the Roma press, that is not a priority, and that scares me. But again, this week play Empoli. They got 1 point. Sorry, they have 0 points. We have 1 point. They stink. We don't stink, but we're playing like we stink. So hopefully get 1 point at a time. Let's not celebrate anything too much. Not get overexcited. Take 1 point at a time. Because the reality is we are, 8 points from the top of the table. So it's been a disaster. But Awar is something that could be positive. And then we'll see how it goes. It's early in the season. I don't want to panic too much, but obviously there's some concerns I have.
Yeah. I've noticed that myself with Awar. Is that how you pronounce it, Awar?
Yeah, I think so. I can't say – I think I say it incorrectly if I just say his last name. Houssoun Awar. Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been one of, pretty much – I do agree. The only positive that you have to take away from this, he's pretty much become a good piece in the midfield. And you're right. Pretty much it's more negatives than positives. I mean – obviously, you hit the goalkeeper situation has been one of the number one things that has plagued Roma ever since I became a football fan, with the exception of Alisson, who was an absolute beast for you guys. But ever since then, the keeper situation has been hit or miss. And this season, it is definitely a huge miss. Basically, he's letting more goals in than that water going through a strainer after straining spaghetti. Like, come on. And then, obviously, instead of keeping the core midfield, you're playing around too much, which is costing you guys that creative play when it's facilitating your attack. And even then, your attack has a couple of issues here and there. Obviously, Lukaku comes in. If he's healthy and doesn't get injured, and he's on his game, could give you a great amount of goal contributions, but obviously he hasn't had really a chance to play much yet. And then you have a defense who, I mean, the goalkeeper situation obviously is an issue, but also the defense has its issues too, because if you're getting that close where you're constantly always relying on your keeper to save goals, that's also an issue. So, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done with this Roma team, such as not playing around with the midfield, stick with your main core guys in the starting 11. That goes across all fronts, and then tinker around seeing who's going to work well with who in the rest of the players. But you have to have your starters playing routinely. Obviously, you might – obviously, depending on how this managerial situation with Mourinho goes, you really – you're right. You need to start planning for the future on who you want to come in. Because if you wait until last minute, other clubs will have snatched these managers up. But right now, yeah, it's still early, but this just is not the start Roma we're looking for, especially since you had two decent teams you could have beaten easily, but careless mistakes has cost you.
Yeah, I think maybe going to a back four would be my, I think, something we should consider. And also, I don't want to hype up Orr. Zalowski's been good, too, and I just want to mention that because, again, I'm just throwing fire at everybody. So the people who don't deserve to be thrown fire at, I'm gonna make sure that I mention them. So Zalowski's been good, Bellotti's been good, and Orr's been good. And the rest have been good, not good. But I'm throwing fire at everyone except those three for the moment. By next week, maybe it's a different conversation.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll see. Hopefully, Roma starts to improve because there's only so many players you got, and then some of them don't perform routinely anyway. So that's like a huge issue. So hopefully they get the heads out of the proverbial asses and get to stick with the core starters. And then, of course, tinker with the remaining players to see what's working, not working, etc.
Yeah, but if it doesn't work, then change it. But what my point was, the first game of the season, the midfield worked. Stick with what you had then. And if something goes bad, then you make an adjustment. But anyway, we can move on. But yeah, I don't know. I get what you're saying. And then the other thing I'll say about this is, and I'll make this quick, is seeing Vicaro play for Spurs in the Premier League and be awesome in goal is like a, I don't know, injection to the skull, because he was what most of us wanted in goal this season. If we had signed him instead of Spurs, then, you know, he wouldn't have had to move that far, and he would have been at a bigger club. And so that's one of the more frustrating things. If we didn't spend the whole duration of the summer on the striker and chasing midfielders and didn't sign for us, then that would have been something that we should have looked at. But, you know, it is what it is. One point at a time, just beat the team with 0 points and things will slowly get better.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take another team that has kind of been struggling within the league as well. Obviously, they still have that dinosaur Allegri at the helm. And of course, obviously, Paul Pogba has been suspended indefinitely due to doping. So let's talk about freaking Juventus.
All right. And this doping actually is one that actually there's evidence other than my tennis friend. I'm just saying that I don't want to get into that whole thing, but this is actually real doping, not the nonsense that you're seeing Serena Williams talked about. Anyway, they haven't been that bad, actually. They beat Empoli, so they got 3 points there. They won their first game, they had 3 points. So they have 6-7 points? It's not bad. Now, do they look incredible? No. Do they look better than last year? Perhaps a little. It's obvious. I mean, I don't want to say it's obvious because it's too early in the season, but it's obvious that they aren't going to be in that contentious position with Milan and Inter and Napoli. I don't think they're going to challenge for the league. I think they're definitely a team that can make the Champions League based on what you've seen so far. Now, the one thing about Allegri and Juve, they don't win trophies, so they're immediately knocked out of every competition that requires a trophy because they're not going to win with that guy. Not now. 10 years ago, they'd be the favorites, but they didn't bring a lot in. I think eventually that's going to be a problem for them. They didn't spend much money. They got rid of a bunch, and guess they had to do some permanent deals with like Locatelli and stuff. They had to sign a permanent. So just overall, they haven't looked very impressive. They're very beatable. And they still are a little out of control in some ways, but they haven't been bad. You don't watch Juventus and think this is the worst team I've ever seen. They've been okay. They haven't been, it's not like a high or a low. It's just kind of neutral. They got 7 points out of nine. That's not bad. It's not nine, but it's not one. They drew to Bologna. I think it was Bologna. And then they beat Empoli, who have 0 points. And then they beat Sassuolo, which I think that's a good win. I think it was Sassuolo, I think. Vladovic just scored a couple goals. I think that's good. Now there's a different individual who has a lot more than him, but two goals out of three games, I think is good. Chiesa looks sharp. Looks like, I won't say his the same old self, but he definitely looks like he's in for a big season. Collectively, though, I mean, just overall, they're not wildly impressive. They're not wildly disappointing. They're just they're not great. They're not horrible. They just seem, I mean, it's three
they're
games.
Just, they're just existing is what we're saying.
I mean, 7 points is more than existing. You know, existing is like 3 points. But no, I get what you're saying. I think they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're not playing beautiful football. They're not entertaining us, but they're getting the results they require. I mean, the only really positive thing, and there's not a really negative thing other than Pogba. And by the way, Juventus fans that called me out 2 years ago when I said that you should be offended by that signing, you owe me an apology. But I think that Chiesa's potentially getting back into form is the positive. They still won 2 out of 3 games. That's positive. Their team and their performances haven't been great, but Vladovic is on the score. So there's plenty of things they can be positive about, but you shouldn't be, like, blown away. They shouldn't be flying on cloud nine, you know, with their feet up or anything like that. But they've been good enough. They've not been great. They've not been horrible. The only way I can explain is they've been Juve under Allegri. That's what they've been. They've been exactly what you thought they would be at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Vlahovic is doing well. Chiesa is slowly getting back. Based on what I've seen from him, he obviously didn't have a great season last season, but is starting to really get back into that form we're used to seeing from him. Obviously, they're not giving us the beautiful football that they did several years ago, but obviously things change as time goes on. And yeah, then the whole poll, obviously the issue is they didn't bring, in my opinion, enough depth, which is probably going to hurt them when the season really gets going, where players end up injured or they end up getting hurt on the, as my wonderful brother likes to call it, international break. One of my brother calls international break.
What's that?
Praying to God that your players don't get fucking injured. I mean, that's what he calls it, because you pray to God that during international breaks and during the season that your team does not get hurt. And that is definitely going to cost them not bringing enough depth in, especially with some of the players that they did let out. But I mean, for the most part, they're doing fairly well, basically doing Juventus things. And also another positive is Nico's back with all of his favorite rants.
His rants aren't out of order yet, though. They're fairly reasonable. Now when they start losing big games, then it's going to change. But for the moment, it's fairly reasonable. So he should enjoy this time before we get deep into the season and the matches matter a lot more than they do now.
Yeah, but I mean, for the most part, they're doing very fairly decent, and obviously, hopefully, Chiesa continues to build on what he's gotten back so far, and of course, Vlahovic continuing to do what he's known for. But like I said, the real main concern for me with Juventus is the lack of depth that they have going forward, especially as the injuries and stuff come. That's the one thing that is like could end up costing them.
Yeah, Di Maria was a huge, huge, huge loss. That one, they fucked themselves over with that one. But yeah, I agree. They brought in some tools, but most of the pieces that they left Juve weren't that important. So they didn't really, but again, it's depth. If they get a serious injury to somebody, I mean, their attacking options are pretty good. It depends who you ask, but they have a lot of them. But I think one injury in the midfield and they're in trouble. Because if Locatelli gets hurt or something like that, they just put themselves in a bad spot, because even like McKinney played good minutes, and I like McKinney, but Juve didn't want to keep him, and they couldn't get rid of him. So they're forcing to play players that they don't want to be even using. So maybe that's a problem that's going to arise in the future. And yeah, and it is what it is. But I think DeMarie is going to be a huge loss. But again, like you said, the line, the starting lineup's not bad, but one big loss and here comes trouble.
Definitely. Up next, we'll talk about the reigning defending Serie A champions, Napoli.
Yeah, Napoli's an interesting one because, I mean, they lost to Lazio, but Lazio they only play six games a season against the top six. The rest of them, they're on a beach. They haven't been brilliant because even in that first game, they didn't look great. Victor seems to still has his shooting boots. So he's got a couple goals in the bag. Kavija Kvaratskhelia came back, second game this season, played well. Was one of the few that played well against Lazio. I mean, in their attack, they have a lot of ammunition. I think they're really good up front. And, defensively, they made some signings. The thing is, getting someone to replace Kim is impossible because, again, I don't want to be throwing darts, but Kim made Alex Merritt get paid. The guy was not going to get a new contract if it wasn't for him protecting him at all times. So Alex Merritt had all these clean sheets last season that Kim was very responsible for. And, you know, the defense is going to be all right. I like Di Lorenzo a lot. Rui Garcia is not – I don't think he's capable of winning the league with this team. And there's a lot to be said about that. He's just not at that place in his career now where he can take a team like this. I think it was a poor decision to go for him rather than someone else that could put a little bit more fear into the other potential contenders. But the reason I do think of them very highly going forward – because they have Kavija Kvaratskhelia, they have Victor Osimhen, they have other, they have Zielinski, they have good players. But when they got Lindstrom from Frankfurt, I think it's a big game changer. I know he played only like 20 minutes in his debut before international break. If he gets settled, whether you put him in the middle, whether you put him out wide, I think he takes the attack to a different dimension. Now, the midfield isn't the most dangerous. The defense isn't the most antagonizing. But if you're comparing yourself or trying to – again, it's weird because they're the defending champions, so everybody should be headhunting them. But they didn't make as many signings as, like, AC Milan and Inter. But if you're looking at an attack – that can go blow for blow with I'll say Milan, but I don't think their attack is the most dangerous part of their team. And you guys, is Lindstrom, Kvaratskhelia, Kvaratskhelia, Osimhen. That's hard to beat. Those three, especially if Lindstrom can kind of pick up where he you know what he was doing in Germany, he brings that to Italy. I think that's gonna be a big hit for them. Again, no super negatives or super positives, but the potential of we look at them going forward, those three specifically and what they can bring to the table, I think that's extremely dangerous. That is why I think they will push whoever, whether it's AC Milan or Inter, they'll push whoever is going to be the favorite in those spots. I think they really have something in them in the attack. Now there are issues in other places. But if this clicks, like the three that I'm talking about right now, then they can take on almost anyone. Now, they'll in the Champions League, they probably won't because they're already in a tough group. It could be very difficult for them. Obviously, they don't have a great history in the Champions League of doing well. But the attack itself gives them a puncher's chance in every game. So you can go down by two goals, and they can still potentially come back and pull it back and win. Because of those three. If they get on the same page, I think that's probably the most dangerous attack in the league. But they're still missing potentially other things that would put them, in the driver's seat. Now, I think Inter and Napoli could be neck and neck just because of that attack. But obviously, there's other teams that have other things that Napoli don't have the strongest things are. But with that attack itself, And their defense isn't bad. It's not like when Alonso was scoring all these goals and conceding a bunch. Their defense is good enough. It's just not brilliant. So with that, with their attack, they have the potential to go big and win the league again. I think it's going to be tough to do so. But before Lindstrom arrives, I'm thinking that they'll probably finish second, respectably. But it's going to be difficult for them to actually really challenge. With the addition of Lindstrom, I think it takes it to a whole new level. And again, he's played 20 minutes. If he starts to – they start to click from minute one when we get back from break, I think it'll be very dangerous. But again, it's the same issue I have with some other teams, is their manager is not it. But I think their attack is good enough to overcome that if it needs to be. Or as long as their manager doesn't make critical errors, I think they can be right there. But again, we'll have to see how it all turns out. But that attack will be the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, a lot of the positives are they were able to retain a lot of their core group, like Osimhen, DiLorenzo, etc. So at least they were able to keep a lot of the core pieces that they know are successful in that team. And then they brought in some pieces. Some have been hit and miss, but obviously some of those missed players could end up coming out once they get really settled into this team, could really surprise us, especially with Lindstrom coming in. Definitely really – he's known for putting on pressure on some of these opposing teams' defenses and really breaking through that like butter. And so with those three, the attack that they have is really going to push whoever else is going to try to fight for that title, obviously, whether it be Inter or the douchebags Milan. But overall, they have brought in some good pieces for the depth, maintains a lot of their core pieces, which they know works, which is a really good thing with some of these teams being able to retain a lot of that, like the structure, I would say, the foundation. And then, of course, but obviously the it factor right now, or the question mark, is how the manager will do down going forward. Obviously, he has a tall order to fill, especially since they did win the title last season while they were under Spalletti. He's going to have to take that responsibility on and be able to like defend that title. Obviously, he could do great and then fizzle out, or he can continue to maintain the success that they've had so far this season. But as they say, only time will tell. Up next, I'll just get my boys out of the way before I talk about Milan. And we'll just go with Inter. So far, there's a lot that I'm liking so far from this team. Obviously, you have Lautaro Martinez finally getting the captain's armband. He has really started to lead this team in the right direction. Obviously, there are a couple key points for concern for me, but that'll be mentioned after all these positives. Obviously, Martinez continuing to prove why he's one of the best scorers we have on our team. I think over the past three matches, if my math is correct, he has
scored 5 and 3. Sorry.
Five goals in 3 games, which is huge. Obviously, you have Barella continuing to lead the charge in the midfield and keeping things like cohesive in that area. And then, of course, you have Bastoni and De Vrij heading up the defense. And then, of course, Sommer, obviously, he's starting to adapt very well into this Inter team. I knew he would because of being the veteran keeper and having success in the Bundesliga. So, to me, it's not an issue. But the issue is, if Inter start getting injuries such as Sommer and stuff, the backup keepers are an issue for me, and also some of the other players if we get injured. But some of the other players, notable mentions really quick. Fratesi has been doing a good job for the time that he's played. That was definitely a huge signing in my opinion. I'm trying to remember who else has been doing really good this after getting signed. I'm trying to remember.
Theron has been good, pretty good.
Thuram, that actually to me was that is how good he's performed so far with like his goal contributions is actually surprised me because obviously we know how he was like at Mönchengladbach where he would be more of a back burner, but now that I think he's playing more of his true role up in the attack versus that of more of like to me he was like a false nine at Gladbach. Would you say or am I off?
No, what I would explain is it's. How do I explain this? It'd be like a number two playing as a number one. So, again, you're a Gladbach fan. You probably know better. Actually, I don't know about that. You probably know better than me. The biggest loss for them this season, just real quick, is Jonas Hoffmann. He made Gladbach tick last season. A lot of the balls that came into Thuram, he scored a bunch of them very well. Good job. But he missed too many chances when he had to score goals. He had an issue with the responsibility of being the primary goal scorer for a team that in other areas was good, and there was a lot of pressure on him to deliver that. He doesn't have the pressure. So the pressure's off because Lautaro's the man up front. He's the man next to him. He doesn't need to do what Lautaro is. Now, if Lautaro has a bad game, he's getting all the blame. If Inter play well, he's not necessarily going to get all the credit. So Thuram lives in a world where he can just kind of play off their number one guy and not have the pressure of everybody looking at him like, oh, I can't believe you messed up that chance. Because every week at Gladbach, someone had an issue with a chance that he did not handle correctly. At Inter, he can – yes, he's missed some chances this year, but the responsibility of him is less – he's important, but less important because he doesn't have to play in the number one role. So I think him coming here as a number two option is – it takes the pressure off. He can relax and do what he does best, where Lautaro is going to take on that pressure, which is, I think it's opened up possibilities for him. That's the way I'd explain it. But, you know, anyway.
Yeah, that clears that up a little bit. Thank you. But obviously, one of the main issues for me, though, is how Inzaghi kind of handles the substitutions. He continues to leave substitutions for way later than they need to be. And that just opens up the opportunity for the team who's brought in a lot more fresh legs earlier on in the substitution phase, an opportunity to get back into the match. Also, I've also continued to notice that Inzaghi continues to get a good solid maybe 2-goal lead, and then he slowly takes his foot out the gas and instead of like making sure we at least score maybe 2 more goals, giving us a 4-0 lead, which would be a little bit more comfortable, because if you're only going 2-0 up and then you're starting to take the foot off the gas, you're giving the opposition a chance to get back into it, which is one thing that has us fans at Inter do not want to see. Obviously, for anybody else, they would love to see it, but for us, it is not what we want to see constantly happen.
But she says to the Roma fan that can't score goals. Anyway, continue.
At least we could score goals. Oh wait, too soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm just hearing this and like, oh, if we had a 2-goal lead, it's not enough for me. I need a 3-goal lead so we can just kick back. I'm like, I'll take a 1-goal lead for 10 minutes. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, but overall, so far for what I'm seeing with, especially what we let out and what we brought in, is definitely like a night and day. And I've noticed recently, at least in this transfer window, we're finally starting to go. I'm more on the younger side of things, kind of like starting to bring in those younger talents, which is something that Inter has struggled with for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we constantly were known as Geriatric Ward FC. So to see the younger talent, such as for Tessie and all of these other people coming
in. I like the defense too, the young one. He hasn't played that much, but I think that's a good play.
Oh, I know who you're talking, but I can't put my name on it. Oh crap!
I just know he's German.
It's not the wrong. It's not Sommer.
I don't remember his name. I think it starts with like a. It's like Yves something. It's a.
We'll look it up later, but we'll put it in the description or something.
Yeah, he was in Denmark. He was in Denmark last year, or the last couple of years, and then he was on Mainz or Stuttgart's academy. I don't remember which one, but he's looked good too.
Yeah, I agree, but I wish I could get the name out, but I can't. But yeah, but overall, for the most part, I'm liking what I'm seeing. And all we have to do right now is continue to maintain like what we've been doing. And obviously, if stuff happens, we have the depth to like rely on, which is a good thing. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll just kind of go off of what you said. Also, you guys brought in Benjamin Pavard and
that's another name I forgot.
Claussen from Ajax. I think those are two good signings. The Benjamin Pavard one needs to hit because you paid good cash for that one. But the other one was pretty cheap. And then Arnautovic, again, he's kind of an a-hole. He's up there in age, but he just basically fly. Again, you're asking me, would I rather have Dzeko or Arnautovic? I'd rather have Dzeko. But it's an even switch out. Dzeko has left and Inter didn't want to continue, and you make a really cheap deal there. So you have Latar, you have Thuram, and then you have him as an option you can bring up in the attack and stuff like that. And so essentially, Thuram is replacing Lukaku, and Arnautovic is replacing Dzeko. I think it's a good situation to have your attack. You got good depth. The midfield's solid. I think you got to start Fartizi more often. He hasn't started, and since you paid as much as you did, and it was, I mean, you really put your neck out there for him. We have to start seeing him and Barella next to each other, because that's the whole purpose of the deal. That's the only thing I've really pushed back on. That Zaghi needs to use his tools more effectively. He does what Brozovic does. I mean, he's not Brozovic. So I'm not saying he's the same, but he has similar skills as he does. So I think you just got to play them next to each other. And overall, I mean, even the other defenders that you have, other midfield options you have with Çalhanoğlu and others, I think is good, because you have guys that can play that attacking role. That's why you have to slide Barella and Fartizi behind, because Barella's does have defensive attributes, but when he pushes forward, he really pushes forward and can help the attack a lot. You need someone who's comfortable in the defensive position. And I think Inzaghi's not utilized this tactic enough so far. And again, I mean, you have so much depth that, I wouldn't want to be the coach, because how are we going to get all these guys on the pitch? And the attack is great. The midfield is strong. Again, there's the tweaking that needs to be done. Defensively, I like it, because you have all that stuff. And then you have I'm just going to call him the young German until I know his name. The young German who can come in and give you minutes. You're getting some young players, some action there. And then obviously you bring in Claussen who can come into the midfield as well and provide some value there as well. And so I think collectively it's a well-constructed team. So, again, you'll appreciate this. The one thing I would say is, Inzaghi, don't fuck it up, because you're not going to have a better chance to win the league, especially with some of your players that are in their 30s that have a little juice left who can still be at that top level. I think it's really important for them to utilize this opportunity. Plus, Dumfries has been great this year, and he's been heavily criticized by the Inter Milan media. So he's off to a good start. I think everything's kind of clicking. It's a good situation. You have Sommer, who, again, when he's not playing for Switzerland, he's brilliant. You know, he doesn't throw away two goal leads with two games in a row with Inter.
Just calm down and behave yourself.
It's a compliment. I'm letting you know it's time for Kubel. But you know, I mean, we're in the same group. I'm very now associated with how Switzerland. Otherwise, I wouldn't even notice that if we weren't in the same qualifying group. Which is really close, by the way. 11 points, 12 points, 13 points. So you have him, and then you have Odero, who's brilliant for Sampdoria for many years. I think one of those needs to be Champions League goalkeeper. One of them should be league. I don't think Sommer should be doing Champions League and league. They should do one or the other. The guy's like 35 years old. You don't want to put too much. Again, it is a goalkeeping position. But you don't want to put too much pressure on him. Just let him do what he's done. And again, he hasn't been under pressure, So he's had to make a couple big saves, but for the most part, he hasn't been put under pressure. I think he will be this week against Milan. Again, you win that game, it's a huge statement, because now you're in the driver's seat. You beat Milan, and if they beat Milan convincingly in their driver's seat, and then you look at the Champions League group, you're in a very winnable group. It's actually possible that you could get maximum points. Me and Ryan were talking about this the other week. I think maybe you drop 1 point. You should win all those games. So that puts you in a position to get a favorable draw in the round of 16 and onwards and go on a deep run. And I was doing the mathematics last week on – I was trying to think of the teams. And again, I take no pleasure in saying nice things about Inter, but I was trying to think of the team. I was trying to think of the teams that are better than Inter. This is what I came up with: Real Madrid, Bayern. Now Bayern are not going to win the league, in my opinion, and I think they could finish third. But in the grand scheme of things, they're better than you. So it's Real Madrid, Bayern, Manchester City. Then it's either Inter or PSG, maybe Barcelona, maybe. But you're no worse than the fifth best team in the world. Now, the people that don't watch Serie A and are in England will think that's nonsense. But if you look at the team player for player, top to bottom, the only teams that could really – actually, I don't think – if you played any of these teams, I don't think you should be afraid of them, because I think your team is that good. If you look at Man City, that's – as I don't want to bring up old memories, but that's a team that gives you trouble. And you look at some of the other ones I mentioned could give you trouble. But I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of those teams. I think you're right in that class. Now, you have to win something to be in that class recently. But in terms of just a team structure, you're up right up there in the top five. So it's really going to come down to Inzaghi and him being able to operate with this pressure. And with all that stuff, beat Milan, that's a big statement. Because I think the driver's seat is still in Napoli, even though they lost their last game, because they won the league last year and they kept Victor and Kvicha Kvaratskhelia is still there, and they brought in Lindstrom. So their team is good enough to win the league again. They're in the driver's seat until something happens where you're like, whoa, maybe not. So you beat Inter convincingly. Even if you just beat them, I think that's great. Get a clean sheet, beat them 1-0, or beat them 3-0, or 3-2, or 2-1. I mean, as long as you win that game, and if you beat them convincingly, and Lautaro does what he does, you know, I think that puts you in on an elevated level where Inzaghi will have – he just can't mess this up, man. This is the perfect team. Now, if you had Conte, it'd be over already. But you don't have Conte. You have Inzaghi now. He needs to just make sure he doesn't mess it up. But this is one of the best teams in the world, and they got a real shot at winning that league again. Again, you had a real shot last 2 years. They really had to maximize this because of some of the ages of the players. Now you have young players, you have mid players, not mid, like mid, like only okay. I mean like mid in terms of like mid-20s. You can be right there as long as Inzaghi doesn't do anything that would mess this up. Because now Lautaro has this leadership role. He has the attention that he had last year. The responsibility is off though because of the other pieces. So he's just chilling and scoring a goal every game. So I think everything is kind of perfectly put with Inter, and I think they're going to do really well, and I do think they'll win the league. But Inzaghi, just don't mess it up.
Yeah, Inzaghi, you hear that? Don't mess this up, or else you're going to have to see these hands. I will literally personally go over there and throw hands. I'm just kidding, because I would get arrested and I can't rock an orange jumpsuit. But anyway, the last thing we're going to just go through really quickly is AC Milan. And so you have the floor.
Yeah, AC Milan, again, I'm happy for my – I'm not going to say my boy yet, but – my not nemesis anymore, Christian Pulisic. I think he's done well. He hasn't been ego. He left his if you watch our other podcast, you'll understand what I mean. He left his dad back in England, so he's not running his mouth as much. Liao's been doing what he's – I mean, they've been good. Now, the loss of Sandro Tonali is not a small deal. It's a big deal. Like, you can sign 100 players. You lose Sandro Tonali. You cannot place him within a midfielder. But they've done a good job of reacting to that. Again, there's some conflicting interest with the positions of some of the players that they signed. but they are maximizing what they have so far. Giroud's been good. Pulisic has 2 goals in 3 games. I think he's been a good signing. Defensively they're still fairly strong. Midfield, they brought in enough for it to the kid from AZ is brilliant. Overall they've handled themselves well. Now they played against two teams. They haven't taken a really big test yet. So they won two. They've been two fairly winnable games, and then they got a big victory against a team that doesn't realize that the season has started. So obviously coming to Rome and doing what they did is great. Against, we kind of let them do it, but still you got to give them the praise. Again, there's still some things to work out, because if you got a player, an individual that can put pressure on the back line, they can be exposed by that. Again, they beat us, but they should not have conceded the second goal. They should have. This is the one thing with AC Milan is when they have the lead, can they keep it, and can they be in full control of that? And the thing that I'm worried about with AC Milan is they're in that group. I don't know what group it is, but group. It's not an easy group with Newcastle United, Dortmund, and PSG. That means trips to the Parc de France, trips to Signal Iduna Park, trips to St. James Park. So all the away fixtures are difficult. Now I do think they can win that group, but if you go through a Champions League schedule with Serie A stuff, I think that's what's going to potentially drag them down, because they are good. Their starting lineup's excellent, but they don't have the depth that you do and depth of some of these other teams. So I'm really curious of how that's going to handle them, how they're going to handle that. But I think there's nothing but positive things to say. They haven't been bad. Again, they can be scored on. There's some vulnerabilities in the back. The only other bad thing is they look like donkeys on the King Charles thing. Because what is he doing his first game at Atalanta? Scores a goal, and he actually playing his positions and is looking good. So, AC Milan don't have too many criticism. Again, if they get punked this weekend against Inter, we'll see. But I think they're in a good position either way, because they have 9 points out of 9.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they brought in so many key pieces to counteract the loss to Sandro Tonali, which I do agree is no huge – is a huge loss in our opinion, because of what he contributed to that team. But they've found a way to manage to compensate and come back from that, which shows the resilience of the team. And then, of course, one of the key issues is continuing to play some of these players outside of some of the positions that they're supposed to be playing in. If they're able to finally get their heads out of their asses and realize, hey, this person actually belongs here, that person actually belongs there, and this person belongs on the fucking bench. And once they start realizing that issue, then they're off to the races. But for me, I hope they continue to fuck shit up, because, you know, I want to win another. I want to get that second star before they do.
But wouldn't it be more satisfying that they're on your neck the whole time you beat them? Isn't that more satisfying than you winning the league and them 25 points behind? Just saying.
Yeah, for me, it's either or. I'm happy with whatever happens. As long as we get that fucking second star, I don't care how it's done. It's one, obviously, Liao continues to perform very well. They brought in Pulisic, who has finally put his ego aside. Thank God.
He's me too.
I was literally thinking, I'm like, wait, he's actually working as a team player and not being an egotistical brat?
You know why that happened? It's because the Premier League and the U.S. National team are linked, because there's so many players here. So they made him believe he's Captain America, you know, and things like that. And I think the relationship he already has with Giroud, because they play together at Chelsea, is good. And I think he's playing more free. He's happier. And I'm happy for him. I've been dunking on this dude for 3 years. But I'm incredibly happy for him. And again, I have one rule for Christian. when Liao gives you the ball, score. That's all. Actually, just have it on target because he can't be missing chances with Liao, a Liao pass. Now, he can. I'm not asking him to be perfect, but make sure Liao, because this is Liao's team. Say what you want. That's his team. He's got that big contract to prove it. But he needs to let him know that he has his back. So if he gives him a, because for those who don't know, a Liao pass isn't some 2 foot pass from one person to another. It's a through ball into the box. That's the type of service he can give to his teammates. So Christian has to do that. And I don't know what exactly happened, but I would have, based on his behavior and based on how he's played, I would say that the captain of AC Milan, when he signed, talked to him about the whole Captain America thing. I'm just projecting, but I don't think it's out of the question to say, just leave that alone. Don't respond to it. Just come here and prove that you're worth what we paid, basically. So I think they've been good. Again, the only mistake that AC Milan made is not hiring the Monza coach when they had an opportunity. So now you're potentially kind of like Inter. You're in a position where your coach could fuck it up for you. But, you know, I got plenty of nice things to say about AC Milan. And, again, I continue to hope Christian Pulisic becomes the player he was at Dortmund, becomes more likable, becomes the player that he – his reputation. Because my big line was if he does what he needs to do at Milan, he will deserve the credit he's getting. Because currently he's not deserving the credit that's put on his back. He'll deserve it if he continues to do this, and he's done well. Didn't play well against Roma, but the entire other team didn't play well against them either, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah, definitely. So we're just going to quickly go through a couple teams in the Bundesliga because obviously we're Deutschland Calcio, so we don't want to leave our boys over in Germany hanging. So we're going to get started off with Borussia Dortmund. Pretty much to me, it is sounding a little bit like it was last season. The start hasn't been that great, in my opinion. The performances continued in my eyes are lackluster, just like the start of last season. It just isn't a good look right now. But they haven't done terrible either. They continue to maintain some sort of momentum, but have they faced Bayern already?
No, but okay. I'll get into my thing, but no, they have not. But just so you know, just for some context, this is their next – I don't know the exact order of these games, but these are their next couple of games. Freiburg, Wolfsburg, Union Berlin, Leverkusen, Hoffenheim, Werner Bremen, Leverkusen, Bayern. And by the way, Leverkusen, Bayern are back-to-back. And there's also Union Berlin there. So they're from October –
Oh, God, that's going to be miserable.
October is difficult, very difficult. So I just want to give you that context.
But, yeah, I mean – I'm trying to remember who they played already. That's the thing. I've watched a couple of their games.
I might change your whole perspective by answering that question. But for opening game of the season at home against Cologne, who the midfield is horrendous. Dortmund against Cologne. Cologne outplayed them despite having no midfield. Outplayed the midfield that is loaded on Dortmund. They hit the bar twice. They get a penalty that wasn't called. Dortmund in the last minutes of the game. They go in and win with a goal from Daniel Malen. The next week, they play Bochum. Bochum had recently lost to Stuttgart 5-0 at Bochum. Remember, this is one of the places where they fucked up their title last year. Bochum scores first. Daniel Malen rescues them again. They get a point there. Then they go against Heidenheim, never beaten at home, never beaten Dortmund ever, never got a point against Dortmund. They go 2-0 up through my guy Julian Brandt with a great goal and Emre Can from the spot. And then Heidenheim pull them back, score two goals, come from two goals down to get a point. So right now they're sitting on, let's see, 3-5 points. They're, I think, mid-table, but it is early. But that's been their season so far.
Okay. But, yeah, it's just like, yeah, they get a win, but then two draws against teams that are usually not that great to begin with. It's not a good look. And the performances continue to look lackluster, in my opinion, to me right now. They look like the Juventus of the Bundesliga.
Jesus, chill.
Let me be savage for once.
Damn. Juventus makes finals. They're Spurs. That's the best way to put it. They're Spurs.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never let me have anything. Just like everybody else.
I'm trying to help you with your joke. It doesn't make sense you say Juventus. Juventus win titles and go to finals. Dortmund.
It was a team that I could think of at the top of my head.
Spurs. Because Spurs goes in on title races and then they throw it away at the last day of the season, just like Dortmund.
Well, you know, I thought of the two that popped in my head first, and that was all that came out. But yeah, it's just not really a good look right now. They really need to get everybody back on the same page before the shit show happened last season, but overall, just not the start that we should be seeing from them at this point.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's juju from last season. I think that dark cloud of Jisung, Jisung Lee running down the wing with Mainz and sort of startling them in that last day of the season. Sebastian Haller, who's never taken that penalty, misses the penalty. And again, it's too late. You know the story. Aiden Ahmed, Jamal Musiala. Oh, they were about to win the league because Cologne was doing them a favor, not so fast. And then my German brother curled it into the corner, and there goes their title. I think that's still hanging over their head. They don't have Jude Bellingham anymore. That's gone. He's been doing nothing but scoring goals in Spain. I think he's been brilliant, despite people who have issues with my opinion on him. I think he's been fantastic, and I think it's been a big loss for them. Brandt's been good. I think some of the I think their summer, what they brought in, has been very sufficient for what they need. But I think they're missing something. It's just some bad luck juju, because how do you get outplayed by a team that has no midfield? In that first game, I know they won, but it's like, I was like, what the heck is going on here? Then they go to Bochum. Bochum got slapped. All right, fine. All right, perfect. Dortmund will come here. They'll get a bunch of goals. They'll be fine. And then boom, right? And then then I'm looking at their schedule in October. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're in trouble. They bet at least they got to win that game on Friday against Heidenheim, right? Wrong. They go two goals up. And again, that was the one. Again, the rest of the games, other than probably Werder Bremen, are competitive games that they could, again, they're not going to lose all those games. They're not going to win all those games. But they could get beat by like Hoffenheim. That's in that stretch. And that's the other winnable game. I thought that was the most winnable game of the next month, and they blew it. Again, the big issue was a striker. We need someone who can score goals. Sebastian Haller's not been good enough, and Daniel Malin's not an out-and-out striker. He's the one scoring all the goals. They need someone else. They go get Nicholas Fulkrug, top scorer from last season, for $16 million in the final hours of the window. He comes in, and their first game, they throw away a two-goal lead. So it's just a mess. They got to beat Freiburg, and Freiburg got smacked around by Stuttgart last week, or whatever week it was. But that's not easy. They're going to have to go away and play them, and then they're going to have to play. I don't know who's next after that. I think it's Hoffenheim. Hoffenheim aren't dog shit. I mean, they're not one of the best teams in the league, but they got quality in that team. They have they can do stuff. That's not a bad team. And so on. And then they have all those games, the tough games against Berlin, Wolfsburg, and then the Leverkusen and Bayern aren't going to be easy either. They're not going to beat Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich are a different issue, but I don't think they can beat Bayern Munich. And I think Leverkusen will run circles around them. So they got to take advantage of that month, and none of those games are easy. So I think it's been a total chaotic start. Now I'm hearing rumblings about the impending future of their manager, and Julian Nagelsmann has been thrown in the hat of that potential job opening. If they get Nagelsmann, whole different game, thing changes. Obviously Germany want him as well, but that could change their season. But I just think they're not in a good position right now. This could go away very easily, but in terms of contending for the title, where Leipzig, Leverkusen, and Bayern, the way they're playing, they're in a very bad situation right now, and they got to figure it out quick, because that October, when October hits, their next 8 games are tough as fuck. So they can't be playing around. They lose to Freiburg, they're in deep trouble. So in terms of title race, they're in trouble, but they're still in the Champions League picture for now. And again, it's early in the season. A lot can happen, but they've started as bad as they possibly could have.
Definitely. And now that you – let's just go right into one of the teams that you just mentioned within that. Let's talk about the boys at Bayern.
Okay. Yeah. They got maximum points. They've won their games. Have I been overly impressed by the by them? Nope. Are they doing what they're supposed to do? Yes. Are they getting points this season that they did not get the back half lesson? Yes. So it's a better situation. Again, you bring in that lovely Englishman Harry Kane to Bayern Munich. A couple goals that already. Leroy Sané has been playing well. Again, there's still the problem I have is Tuchel does not know how to handle this squad because the squad was not built by Tuchel. It was built by Nagelsmann and Flick. Both of those built this squad. Those are the managers that know how. I don't think he has a grasp of how to use the squad. Now I think they're still going to get results, but when they're pushed to the fire against a Leverkusen that they play on Friday, that's going to be really difficult for them because they have an identity. They have everything they need to beat Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich may have this great team, but they're still not. They have not handled the position well, and again they almost lost to Gladbach, and again this is the worst Gladbach team I've seen in 10 years, and they still almost, again I know it's the team that always beats them, but again if this Gladbach team beat them it would have been a really bad sign. They barely got out of jail in that one. Again, there's lots to be positive about. I like Kane's been good. Sané's been playing the best football I've seen him play in a couple of years, at least to start. The defense is good. Kim and Delitt have been excellent. The goalkeeping has been good enough even without Neuer. Kimmich has been fantastic. So individually, there's been a lot of players who've been good. But I think there's going to be an issue with him handling the squad. And I don't think he's handling it well enough. But again, they have those players. So against other teams, against the smaller team, they'll be able to get results. But when they go up against a team that can battle them player for player, like Leipzig, like Leverkusen, I think they're going to run into trouble, as we saw in that Super Cup.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you're right. The thing that will come down to it is how Tuchel handles this team going forward. And you're right. Nagelsmann and Flick were the ones who built this Bayern team to what it is today. And when you have, Tuchel is experienced, but not with like the star power that a Bayern team has. Obviously, he knows what he's doing with getting the results, but
it's just the
system.
It's not bad because he can handle big personalities and big time players, but it's the type of players he has and the system that those players are designed to play. He's tried to kind of do coach this team the way he would, but it's just the team's not built to play that way. That's it. And again, I don't want to dunk on Tuchel. I don't think he's done a good job at Bayern, but I don't think this job was meant for him in the first place. So it's not technically it's not his fault, but that's the issue because he can handle the big personalities.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like we said, the system that is going to give him the most problems. But for me, as long as they're getting the results that were in stuff. That's the main point. But do I think they're going to have a difficult time against Leverkusen, who has been really stepping it up ever since? I think Wirtz plays on.
Well, yeah, but Wirtz is the superstar. But ever since Alonso's taken over from last season, because remember they went from 18th to 6th, I think.
Yeah, and then also now that you also have Wirtz back with that Leverkusen team, and he's healthy, a fully fit, ready to go. Obviously, they're also out there with maximum points too. So it's going to be, those particular teams get ran by their managers over the next few months that, to me, will separate who's going to win this thing and who's not. But obviously, still early. There's a lot of football to play. We got 38 whole weeks of this wonderful sport. But to me, it's more obviously there's a lot of positives to take, but the only key issue is the system that Tuchel is going to try to use going forward. But yeah. And then in speaking of Leverkusen, they've been doing really well this so far this season. Obviously, Wirtz is coming out being a baller, and nobody's talking about it, which is driving me nuts.
It's not that no one's – they just forgot how good he is. So they've he's just been ignored by these, you know, who's the best under-21 star in the game. And people forget about him because he got injured last year. And, again, the numbers speak for themselves. His performances speak for themselves. So, again, don't want to throw any shade at anybody. There's a table that Wirtz, Musial, and Juve. They all sit on it. You can make an argument for any of those three. One of those isn't elevated to the rest. Now, I'll take Wirtz above anybody twice on Sunday, but that's just my preference. And, I'm looking big picture. But, again, it's not that people disrespect him. It's people forgot that he exists. And then he's come back and it's been ignored. That's the issue I've had with that whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, he's continuing to prove, like, once he came back, why he's one of the best players in the Bundesliga right now. Obviously, maximum points for Leverkusen as well as Bayern, which is huge. Performance-wise, they're doing really well. To me, they are a little bit more – I think they have – obviously – to me, just because of how this manager has worked with this team, I think they're going to be the ones that will break away from Bayern and steal it this season, just because they have, in my opinion, just a slight, clear, more direct, better direction of where they're going and knowing what is working and not working versus Tuchel, who's trying to put his spin on everything, but the players were not built for his system. So I think that's where I kind of draw the line of how things are going to go. It's just how the teams are being ran that is going to make all the difference. But great start for Leverkusen. Wirtz coming back, showing why he's one of the bosses in the Bundesliga. So there's really not a lot of negatives I've seen personally. But obviously you are picking these things like a fight into a comb, whereas I'm still kind of getting that more gauge going with that, but so maybe you're seeing something I'm not seeing. But anyway, no, what are you going to say?
There's not too many negatives. I think I think Leipzig would be my preference if who's going to take out Bayern. But I actually think there's a world where both of those teams finish ahead of them. They did beat Leipzig, but they were outplayed in a large part of that game. They relied. So again, if I need to find a criticism, and again, I have to. Dig a hole halfway from here to China to find one. But if I was going to say one, it would be they can't rely solely on their ability, their clinical finishing, because there are going to be teams that outplay them and will capitalize on their chances, and it will turn into kind of a shootout. Because against Leipzig, they were outplayed for most of the game, but they were just so clinical in front of goal that they were always one step ahead against them. I think those are the two teams I would see. But I think Xabi Alonso's built this team perfectly. I mean, the reaction of most people before last season, like Leverkusen signed Boniface, and most people's reaction would be, who is Boniface? right? So he finds guys, he's found players that no one was looking at. Now he contributed to my nightmares 2 years ago when Bobo Glimp, whatever, the Norwegian Hobbits slapped the dog at Roma.
That in a while.
Had 14 goals that season, moved to St. Julian Union in Belgium, played against Leverkusen in the Europa League last year. He identified him. He grabbed him. Him and Wirtz have been just masterpiece. Those two together are different level in terms of the connection, in terms of they know how they kind of already know how to play with each other. And Obviously, Boniface is feels really comfortable with it because he already is singing the praises of who I'd consider the baddest man on the planet, because he called him Flow Magic, which is sometimes I think it's a nickname from before he got injured. But it's nice to hear that again. Them two have been connecting. Then you brought in Xhaka from Arsenal, very experienced, has done it. They're good defensively. They're good in the midfield. They're good in the attack. They know how to win these games. And Xabi Alonso has a masterpiece going. He's building this team exactly the way he should and has handled the absentees and the departures of certain players and has done it brilliantly. They beat Leipzig. They won two other games. They've been perfect. They've been absolutely astounding. And I think they'll beat Bayern. I don't care if it's in Munich. Munich has become backyard football. You know, it's not like a fortress the way it was under Nagelsmann and Flick. But I think they have all it takes now. But my question is, is this happening a year too early? Are they a year ahead of schedule, and are they going to go win the Bundesliga this season? Or are they letting us know that next season, just don't show up? We're going to win this damn thing. So it really depends on it's too early to judge which is which, but they're going to be in the title race all year long. Whether or not they can break it down and win it this year is a different question. They could be coming a year earlier than expected, because I was thinking of them winning next year or potentially winning next year. This year they could do it if they keep this up. Bayern's a huge test. They beat Bayern. It's a whole – it opens up the possibility. Wirtz has been on fire. Boniface has been – I think he's 2 goals in 3 games for a new signing in a new league. That's brilliant. They've just done such a terrific job. And the experience and the winning of Xhaka under coming into this is huge as well. So they're insane, and it's only going to get better. And I think right now, Wirtz has been the second best player in the league this season, and I think we're going to see him in peak form on Friday.
All right, one last team before we get into your closing topic that you have for us. You wanted to discuss Leipzig. What is your thoughts on Leipzig so far?
Choo choo. Would you like to buy a ticket to the hype train?
Hang on. How much is the ticket?
I'm taking tickets for the Xavi Simmons hype train. Would you like to buy a ticket?
How much is the ticket so I can know how much I need to pay?
Man, it's just yes or no. Do you want a ticket to the hype train? Anyway,
yes, please.
Get to my point. This kid is fucking crazy. Sorry for cussing so much this episode, but he's been so good. Like, he's come into the situation and coming off PSV last year, 19 goals, I don't remember, 8 assists or something at PSV. PSG, not to be confused, purchased him back from and then loaned him to Leipzig immediately. Now, through 3 games, he scored the 2 best goals I've seen in the league this season. His goal against Union Berlin last time was amazing. He contributed to every single goal that happened. It was the thunderous strike from outside the box. He hits it with the knee slide in the salute after scoring. He assists one of the Benjamin Seko goals, and then he had the pass that led to the assist on the other. He's been so good against Stuttgart. He has that solo run. I mean, he has all the qualities to be the Bundesliga player this season. Now, as you know, the young player of the season is going to be a topic of conversation. My rule is I don't give it to the same player twice. Wirtz has already won it. Musiala has already won it. Bellingham's gone. So basically, the young player of the year has already been over and decided, basically. I mean, Benjamin Seko could get it, his teammate, but they've been electric. Dani Olmo has 5 goals in 4 games. He's been unbelievable. You look at what they got into the attack with all the options they have off the bench, with the way Marco Rose has dictated his team. And I know they lost to Leverkusen, but they were really good in that game. But I think that there's so much depth that they have in that midfield. They can bring Christopher Baumgartner off the bench, and he's not played that many minutes this season because of some of the other qualities that they have. Defensively, they've been good. The goalkeeper should be coming back in the next month or two. Hopefully he gets in there. And then they're just a perfect team. This team is completely built to knock off Munich. The one team that gives Bayern Munich the most problems is Leipzig. They annihilated them in the Super Cup, and they, again, Union Berlin is like they had this brilliant start to the season. And against Leipzig, they got absolutely smacked around. They had two shots the whole game. The whole entire game, they had two shots. The Leipzig dominated from start to finish. They get three goals in the second half. They bring a guy off the bench in Benjamin Sesko, who's going to be another young player that we're going to see this season, scores twice in 4 minutes or something like that. So I think from top to bottom, they have the best team. This is my pick to win the Bundesliga. I think they have all the qualities. But with what you see with Xavi Simons and what you've gotten from him early on already, it's just remarkable. And the way he's kind of dictated through so many things this season, I think they're just a unstoppable force at the moment. Again, they have I don't even know. They've lost one game and they've won all the rest. So they're not quite up there in terms of points with the other ones. But, I mean, to do what they did to Union Berlin is actually really impressive. Union Berlin hadn't been beaten at home since February. They come up, they roll up with their feet up and just absolutely cook them from start to finish. And, again, Union Berlin's a good team. They're going to be in the conversation for the Champions League, for the Europa League. They're going to be a top five, top six team this season. And for Leipzig to do what they did, it just shows the levels between Leipzig and some of the other big teams. Because Union Berlin ain't no joke either. They're a top side. And the way Leipzig just absolutely steamrolled them is, I think, is a huge telling of how good this team can be. But for the moment, I'm in my love phase with Xavi Simons because I absolutely am obsessed with this kid. And I'm excited to see him. And there's no buyback clause. Sorry, there's no buy option on the loan. I think Leipzig are thinking to themselves, all right, we got to find a way to keep this kid here because of how impactful he's been already. But Leipzig has been good, but it's just been the Xavi Simons shows at Red Bull Arena this season.
Fair enough. You have a closing topic for us. So what have you got for us today?
Okay. So just quick question. Where did you pick Lecce to finish this season?
Let me go get my notebook.
I mean, roughly. You don't have to give me the exact position.
That's the thing I can't remember.
Okay.
It's on one of these fucking pages somewhere. That's all I know. There we are. I think somewhere in mid-table, I'm thinking.
I thought you had them at, like, I thought you had them in 20th. I just want to know exactly where, because it's going to set up my question.
Okay, hang on. Because I have so much football stuff in this one notebook. Yeah, 20th.
All right. I also had them in 20th. All right. So, as we know, relegation is really tough in Italy. Usually there's one team that's horrible, and then the rest of the teams are fighting for their lives for the whole season. Right? Lecce is expected, by most people's lists, are in the bottom three. They sold their best player to Sporting Lisbon. They didn't spend that much money, and then here they are, right? They first game of the season, they got points off Lazio after scoring first. They beat Fiorentina. They got a draw against Fiorentina. Fiorentina, that's a huge win. And then who the hell? I don't know who they beat this week or the third game, but they have 7 points from a possible 9 after 3 games, right? The other relegation candidates have 0 or 1. I'm not counting Roma, by the way, because we're not going to get relegated. We're going to be shit, but we're not going to be relegated. So my question is this. So how do I phrase this? Is this Lecce thing real, or is it a ruse? Or I guess my bigger question is, their next 2 games are against Monza, and I forgot the other one, but they have 2 winnable games. If they win both of those, let's say if they get at least 4 points from those 2 games, can they already push themselves out of relegation a conversation, at least, I guess? I'm just trying to collect my thoughts. All right, so they got 7 points. If they either win both of those games or have 4 points, do you think it's enough to give them enough cushion at this point of the season to be able to fight off relegation and give them a huge, kind of give them a leg up against the rest? Or do you still think they're going to go down and get relegated?
Well, if we're going based off the assumption that they get some sort of points in these fairly winnable games, I think they can build enough cushion to where they could will definitely fight off relegations this season, despite the loss of losing their key player to that one team I can't remember already.
But Sporting Lisbon.
Sporting Lisbon. So, I mean, if they're able to get points off of those, yes, they could do it, because they're showing that, yeah, we lost our best player, but we are working around that situation, just like AC Milan, even though it's a different situation with them. They are doing what is needed despite the loss of Sandro Tonali. They've been able to compensate. So, if personally, if they're able to do that, absolutely. But if they do not win, however, and or they get very minimal points from that, like, say, a point from one of the games, then I still think they'll fight relegation and at some point may go down. But if they're able to show us that, hey, we got 4 points out of these past two games, we're here to play, and then they're able to stay up and start building with what they can around the team that they still have, I think they can easily fight relegation depending on how the next two matches go.
Yeah, so my take on this is Sorry about that. Typically, my rule is don't look at the table until about eight games. However, the fact that they've gotten points off Fiorentina, they've gotten points off Lazio, they have 7 points. If they even draw their next two games to get to 9, I think there's enough cushion there where if they get points from 40% of their rest of the season, that they'll survive. I have questions of whether the points they're getting is going to be completely enough to do that. And I'm not saying – I'm by no stretch saying that it's already over, that they're safe. But if they're fighting against Empoli with 0 points, they already have 7. I think they're positioning themselves extremely well to be in this position, to not be relegated, to be in that spot. With that being said, there's also the other side of the coin, where Lecce before, they were in 9th place in the season – and they end up getting relegated. So as long as they don't go on huge losing streaks, as long as they don't lose more than 4 games at a time in a row, like let's just say they can occasionally lose a couple games in a row, but if they continually get points, I think they put themselves in the perfect position to be there where they won't be relegated. I don't know if they will or not. I think they have, at best, they could finish in the top 14. But I think they've started extremely well, and I think I'm not going to say they won't get relegated yet because I think it's too early. But if they do something in those next two games, I think they're put themselves in a real chance. Like, for example, Verona has 6 points. I still think they're going to finish last. So, but this, because of the teams they played and kind of the how they've gone about their business, I've been wildly impressive with what they've done, and I think it's been just great that they've started so well. But we'll see what happens. But I do think this is something – I think this will be an interesting story to follow, especially the next 2 weeks, if they get good points from those games. Again, Monza's one of the teams, and I forget what the other one was. But if they beat Monza and get a point in another one, they could be positioned well. After that, they have, like, Napoli and Juve back-to-back. But based on how many points they've already gotten – I think they can overcome the threat of relegation if they start hot. Now, again, 38 games this season. But I think it's a very interesting story so far.
Yeah, definitely. And so that's all we have for you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you on our... We're going to get back into recording weekly episodes starting next week. So until next week, we'll see you guys later.